Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play B-Mix.
B-Mix, don't be a loser. B-Mix, you're a loser.
Who's ready to beat Migs? I know Matthew from Redmond is. Matthew, are you there?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
What's
morning.
Up, Matthew?
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Matthew has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Where? I like that you have help. How many wisdom teeth does the average adult have?
4.
Correct. Which European country is shaped like a boot?
Finland?
No.
You can say it out loud. Italy.
Yes. What is the name of the Swiss dish that combines melted cheese with white wine and is often served as a dipping?
I don't know. Fondue?
Yes, queso? You do know. When it comes to navigation, what does GPS stand for?
Global Positioning Satellite.
No.
Global Position Satellite.
No.
Global Positioning System.
Yes. Woo! What is the colored part of the eye called?
Iris.
Yes. What kind of animal is Flower in Bambi?
Flower is a deer.
No.
No, skunk.
Yes. The only 2 U.S. states that can grow coffee commercially are Hawaii and what?
And Hawaii and Puerto Rico. No, it's just not. California, Arizona.
There we go. Justin Herbert is the quarterback for what NFL team?
Chargers.
Yes. Which desert covers most of North Africa?
The Gobi, the Saudi.
No, no.
Sahara.
Sahara, yes. The hot balls of light that appear in the night sky are called what?
Say that again?
The hot balls of light that appear in the night sky are called what?
Comets.
No. Matthew, though, almost a perfect 10.
Wow.
You got 9 correct.
Did you really ask it that way?
Yes, I did.
That last question.
Yes, I did, Danny. Okay. It's very...
Quizmaster Sarah, at it again.
Matthew, who's your friend with you?
There's Winfred.
Winfred?
Winfred.
Hi, Winfred. Wow, your name is epic.
Yeah, you really don't hear that name very often.
No.
He's a good man.
It's a great name.
He's a good lifeline.
Matthew has a lifeline, and his name is Winfred.
Winfred!
Isn't that an amazing name?
It was Winfred Brimley. That's the only Winfred I think I know.
I don't know any. Well, you better feel the pressure, because Matthew and Winfred did amazing.
All right.
Steve, you ready?
Yes!
How many wisdom teeth does the average adult have?
Maybe it's Willard Brimley. I don't know. What? Huh?
How many wisdom teeth does the average adult
4.
Have? Correct. Which European country is shaped like a boot?
That would be Italy.
Yes. What is the name of the Swiss dish that combines melted cheese and white wine, and it's often served as a dipping?
Oh, man. It just takes forever to eat that. Fondue.
I know. It's not worth it. Yes.
Yeah.
When it comes to navigation, what does GPS stand for?
Global Positioning System.
Correct. What is the colored part of the eye called?
Iris.
Yes.
I have a reason why it's funny to me. I'll wait till after.
What kind of animal is Flower in Bambi?
Rabbit?
No.
Turtle?
No.
Human?
No. The only 2 U.S. states that can grow coffee commercially are Hawaii and what?
Washington?
No.
California?
Correct. Justin Herbert is the quarterback for what NFL team?
The Chargers.
Yes. Which desert covers most of North Africa?
The Sahara?
Wow, yes. The hot balls of light that appear in the night sky are called what?
That was my nickname in college. Shooting stars.
No.
Stars?
It was just stars. Oh. So I shouldn't give it to him, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, on a technicality, no.
Of course. Well,
so then.
Helpful to Steve.
Steve.
whatever it takes to get him to lose.
You got eight correct. Which is a loss, 9-8.
Oh. I like how they just realized they won.
Matthew and Wilfred, that's what's up.
Yeah. Hey-o.
They did know that the animal flower in Bambi is a skunk.
A skunk. That's I get it. It's clever.
It is.
Yeah.
Because
skunks stink and flowers smell nice.
Wow. We had to spell that out for you, Sarah.
I didn't get that. I didn't. I've ever seen Bambi. Isn't that one where Bambi die?
The mom dies.
I don't know. Someone
Spoiler
dies.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. And you eventually got the hot balls of light that appear in the sky. I was just looking for stars. Matthew didn't know that either.
I had a chuckle about the Irish question because
yeah.
I'm not kidding you. What was I listening to on the way to work today?
Goo Goo Dolls?
I was. Why?
Why?
Very good question. So because I've noticed that I'm starting to like bands that I used to think sucked, like Creed and Nickelback and whatever.
You're going through a phase right now, Steve.
I am. I'm going through this weird phase of like, dude, the things I hated in my 20s, do I like them now? And Goo Goo Dolls popped into my mind. I used to love the Goo Goo Dolls when they were kind of like a scratchy, punky kind of rock band. But then I hated them when they became this power ballad Aerosmith wannabe band, in my opinion. So I was like, let me listen to Iris again. And this is literally what I did in the drive-in, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of liked it.
Oh my God.
I think with age comes bad music taste.
And like, that is not like a pump up for work song.
No, it didn't put me in like a rock and rolling mood, I'll be honest with you. But so it's funny you asked that question because I was literally listening to a song called Iris when you had a question about Iris.
It's a good jam. Check out the new merch we have available in the Rock Shop at KISW.com. We have the all-new KISW Rock Flannels, two different styles to choose from. Plus, we have the pullover sweatshirt, so get those now at KISW.com. Do you guys remember the band Sugar Colt?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot. Yes, absolutely. Those guys, they have that one song. Was it Memory?
Yeah.
Memory.
Let's see if you got it. Here we go. They're awesome.
Well, Danny is just friends with all the bands. And Danny is buddies with their guitarist, Marco DeSantis. And sadly, his house burned down in the fires in L.A. But thankfully, he and his wife and their two kids are safe. But they did lose everything. So we're going to chat with Marco about what happened after Stone Temple Pilots.
The Daily Mix Show.
We are continuing to follow from afar all the devastating wildfires that are burning in L.A. County. Yes. And it's just been absolutely awful to watch so many people being displaced, so many structures destroyed. People have lost everything.
Now's the process of trying to figure out how do you get your life back together from like dealing with the insurance companies to dealing with just trying to get like, you know, where are you going to stay until like it's safe for you to even go back home, even if your house is still up because of all like, you know, the smoke damage as well.
We're trying to get a guitarist from Sugar Colt, Marco DeSantis, on the line, and I believe he's joining us right now. Marco, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, first of all, we're just so sorry to hear that you and your family are safe, but you guys have lost everything. You lost your house in the wildfires.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just totally, like, it still feels like a surreal, like, just kind of fever dream or something, you know? We lost, not only did we lose our house, but we literally lost our entire, I could almost make peace, selflessly, I could almost make peace with like, oh, whoops, Marco left the toaster oven on and our house burned, but at least all our neighbors are there and we're going to rebuild it and the community will come together and then we can get back to normal. But right now, it's like literally as if you're in not just our house, but like every single house on our street is gone. It's like, it looks like a war. It looks like Gaza, you know, and almost every house, you almost feel the most sorry for the people whose houses didn't burn because now their house is like this is standing amidst like all of their neighbors' houses are gone. You know, it's such a weird thing. And I still don't even believe it. It's hard for me to even believe it's real because I haven't, my wife and my daughter were there, and I was actually out of town. And, you know, it was a really bad windstorm. And so before I left town, I was like preparing for a windstorm. I was like, okay, get the patio furniture down, all that kind of stuff. Make sure there's nothing, you know, make sure there's no car parked under a big tree or something like that. You know, just thinking, your mind is thinking windstorm. And then, of course, nowadays we also have to factor in, you know, fire is all an inevitability, especially in Southern California. So anyway, long story short, I get the call of like, you know, oh, don't worry, the evacuations aren't for our part, it's for the other part. And then in the middle of the night, it was like, okay, we're being evacuated. Then I get this buddy of mine who's a music guy too, who lives like two houses over. He's like, yeah, he's like, I evacuated. And then I came, he said he came back to like try and hold his, you know, get his garden hose and do what he could. And he was like, dude, I finally just had to give up and just go, because he was like, it was not looking good. He was like, your neighbor's garage and fence is on fire, the tree across the street's on fire. And at that point, I just was making peace with like, okay, my house is probably going to be gone, but maybe not, you know? And then it was like, wake up the next morning, and it was like, I mean, that's the part that's just the most surreal, is just like, everything's gone. Like the whole neighborhood, every place you ever walked, when you went on a walk, every neighbor across the street, down the across, next door to them, next door to us, on both sides, the whole block, like the whole like square, it's almost like a square mile of just complete devastation. It's crazy. It's like we got bombed or something, you know?
Oh, awful, man. Marco, I saw pictures of you, and you have two younger kids, and I have a 5-year-old, and you know, and I think about like, how do I talk to her about certain things when, like, you know, that are heavy? And now you've got something that's beyond heavy just in general, and then how much it impacts you and your family. How did that conversation go? I mean, like, you know, A, first, we have to evacuate. You have to explain that to them. And then B, hey, everything that was in our home is gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously, that's a really hard conversation to have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say, like, you know, it's like anything in life. No matter when it hits you, it's going to be hard for different. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be hard in a different way. But the one thing I will say is a, you know, saving grace is like, both of our kids are like, you know, at the tail end of their teenage years now. And we moved into this house when they were like, you know, one was just born like 2 months after we moved into this house to the day. And one was like only like 1.5, you know? And, So they basically, like, this is what they, when you close your eyes and like think of your mom's house or your, you know, anyone out there listening, like you think of like where you grew up, you can usually close your eyes and like visualize exactly what it looks like. I can remember exactly where I grew up in Santa Barbara. But like they have that, like with this house, like it's like embedded in their childhood memories of like, this is the house they grew up in. This is the house they learned how to walk in, and how they, where they had their birthday parties, and all their childhood memories were formed, you know, in this neighborhood. It's like where they learned how to ride a bike, and, you know, so, I mean, if this was going to happen and had to happen, you know, at least it happened in a moment where, like, it's already sort of like a turning point, because they're like starting to go to college and we're starting to like turn that page of like becoming empty nesters. And I don't know, it feels like it was going to feel like the end of an era and a new chapter anyway, but now it feels like the end of a book, and today feels like the beginning of a new volume, you know, like you're starting the new, a totally new one. It's not even another chapter. It's just a whole other book, which is terrifying, but in a really kind of perverse way, also kind of a little bit exciting and liberating and peaceful. But now that I know there's nothing that can be done about it, you almost just have to surrender. I will say, as a musician, you know, from the band Sugar Cult, you know, all the one thing that really, like, another thing that really stings for me is that I was always, if you ask anyone I've ever been in a band with, I was in a band with Chris from the Foo Fighters when we were teenagers called Lost Kittens. I was in a band in the early 90s called Popsico. I was in a band Sugar Cult, and I was in another band with Joey from Lagwagon called Bad Astronaut. And in every band, if you ask any of those guys, they will right away be like, yeah, Marco's the guy who, like, I'm the first guy Chris called when the Foo Fighters were doing their documentary. He's like, dude, I know you saved everything. Can I borrow some flyers and footage? And, you know, I was like the
historian
archivist.
Yeah.
You know, which is just a euphemism for, you know, pack rat who never throws anything away. But I literally have, I literally had everything we ever did, every piece of merch, every, you know, little live recording someone sent us from somewhere, every little, like, every iteration of a guitar pick that we had, every, you know, the notes our producer would take while we were making probably the original lyrics from memory, like every single thing for every single band I was in my whole life. And that just, like, that kills me, not selfishly because I don't have that stuff now, but because I feel like I was entrusted, you know, like I said, I was a self-appointed archivist. I was the one who was taking care of that stuff, and now that stuff's gone. And even though it's something I couldn't control and it was a natural disaster, you still feel like, you know, you still feel like you let people down because you were the one they were counting on to, like, have it for the box set one day or like, you know, the museum exhibit or whatever it is. Luckily, a lot of my stuff got borrowed for the Punk Rock Museum in Las Vegas. So it's on exhibit there. So it's not like a total loss. There's still something.
Yeah.
But that kills me. Plus, just as a lifelong music fanatic, I've just all, you know, I had a huge record collection of, like, really rare stuff from all over the world. You know, every time we'd be on tour, I'd just be like hunting and gathering rad little things. And then I always, you know, checked out bands early on. And then a lot of those bands have gone to become really big. So I'd have, like, their early, like, I have the first White Stripe 7-inch ever that, like, Jack White's buddy gave me when he was playing a show in my hometown that I put on, you know? And I have, like, the first pressing of Appetite for Destruction that got banned.
Oh, with the artwork.
To go by when I was a kid. You know? Like, and, like, Ramones record signed by all the Ramones who I, like, met individually. Clash record signed by Joe Strummer. Like, Elliott Smith record that I bought off him at a bar when he was, before he was famous, and he signed him, he, like, autographed it to me as a joke, like, I'm not even a star, why would you want my autograph? And I, you know, I had, like, things like that, and I do have photos of a lot of these things, because I'm kind of crazy about taking pictures of stuff, so that's my only thing I'm hanging on to, is at least I have, like, something that will be a memory, and keep the memory from fading, and, you know, but at the end of the day, for anyone out there listening, you know, it's like all those things you hear, like, the more things you own, the more things own you. It's kind of true in a way. Like, I feel really lost right now. Like, I feel like those things were, like, touchstones and kind of, like, breadcrumbs that led me to, like, remind me who I was, you know? It's, you know, it's like, if you ever saw the movie High Fidelity or read the book,
yep.
You said my record collection's organized in autobiographical order, and that's how, like, my little, like, man cave was. It was just like, yeah, it was just like records. I was like, oh, that's the record I got when I, oh, that's the one I stole from backstage at that Jane's Addiction show that I snuck into, and then I got Perry to sign it. Like, everything had a story, and it's really, this is really odd, and I'll let you guys get a word in edgewise. I had just done a cameo, because I'm on Cameo. Someone hired me, and they're like, do whatever you want. It's just our friend. We want you to do a cameo. So I was like, I went out to my little, like, studio where I keep all my memorabilia, and I just did, like, this random show and tell for, like, 20 minutes. I was like, so here's this thing. I was just grabbing random things at random and, like, oh, this is this thing from the time I was hanging out with the Rolling Stones, and this is this thing, you know, just, like, telling stories. And I said it as a joke. I was like, you know what? I should really start, like, a YouTube series where I do, like, a rock and roll show and tell and just tell the story of all this stuff, and then maybe, like, I'll give something away or whatever, you know, like, and it's so weird. Like, I literally said that. I did that cameo. I put it off for 2 days, and then I finally did it, like, the night before I left town, and the next 24 hours later, everything was gone, which is just crazy.
From here in Seattle, we've just seen incredible acts of kindness throughout your community. Everything from, like, the Whiskey of a Go-Go being a place that people can go for supplies, and the way that people are helping with, you know, animals and things of that nature. And you also have a GoFundMe page, Marco, where people, if they want to check it out, it's on our social media pages as well, at Daily Migs. And we hope that the money raised will at least, you know, help recover some of the things, or replace some of the things that you can replace. I know a lot of the things you've been talking about are irreplaceable, but we definitely want to help you and your family rebuild.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. And, you know, a friend of my, a friend of my wife's set up the GoFundMe, and at first we were like, oh no, we're, you know, I've just never like been the type of person to like ask someone for money or ask someone for help or anything like that. And like, this has been one of those things where our friends are just like, how do we help? Give us a way to help, please. And yet, after a while, I realized I'm like, anytime someone's ever had a GoFundMe or, you know, when my old friend, you know, Howie Pyro, who's no longer with us, he had a problem and needed a liver. Like, everybody in rock and roll bonded together and raised him enough money to get him a liver. You know, my friend Jesse Mallon in New York, yeah, who, you know, unfortunately was like, had a spinal stroke and is now paralyzed from the waist down. And like the healthiest, nicest guy, like he's always helped everybody else. And he just, everybody, you know, you don't even think about it. You jump on there and you just step up. When I'm always doing that, you know, I will always help anybody who needs help. And it's so weird to be on the other end of that, because I've always, you know, I'm like, and so it's hard. Like, you have to, I sort of had to swallow my pride, you know, because mm-hmm. I never want to be a burden. I know, oh, dude, I'm not doing, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You know, like, I'm just that guy. But just to see the outpouring of people just like, how can I help you? Can I give you a place to stay? Can I give you, you know, can I buy you? One guy just texted me, he's like, can I buy you guys lunch tonight or dinner tonight? And I'm like, my natural inclination is to be like, no, we're good, you know? But yeah, but someone persuaded me. They're like, dude, just accept it. Because
people care.
People, yeah, this, I mean, and that's, and not to sound too woo-woo, but like, honestly, it's one of those things that it really restores your faith in humanity when you realize, like, when something like this, of this magnitude happens, people, you know, people who, like, you know, you haven't talked to in years, or people who you had a falling out with, they immediately, that just gets erased, and it just becomes, I love you, how can I help you, you know? And I just want, like, I want to use this as a, just, while I've got this, like, platform for a second here on the radio, like, does anyone out there listening, man, just be cool. Just, you know, nothing is worth hanging on to grudges. Nothing is worth everything I ever like scrimped, like, oh, I better not do that thing. I better not make that record because it's going to be too expensive. And, you know, just don't be like that. Like, you're going to be okay. You know, if like, don't live in fear. Don't like live your life in this, like, I better save everything just in case. Like, you just got to get rad. You just got to get out there and get all the goodies. Because you really never know. I never thought this would ever happen. And I don't know what I'm looking right now. I'm walking while I'm talking to you, looking towards the mountains towards where I lived. And it's this beautiful, sunny day. The mountains look beautiful. And I'm like, somewhere under there is like just a big pile of ash, which used to be like where we, you know, had, where I used to sit on, like, you know, play guitar on my couch, or like make dinner, or like, you know, play with the kids, or just, it's just so weird. Like, everything all the things we think we have, we don't really have. We just sort of inhabit for a while or possess temporarily. The only thing you know, that really matters at the end of the day is that you create memories, that you, help people, so that you create goodwill, not transactionally, not so that you can get something in return. It's just kind of because, you know, and then it makes me happy that I, all right, it makes me happy that I, you know, kind of had this like life of rock and roll, because a lot of people that I grew up with that are way more talented than me, they took the like, oh, well, yeah, that'd be nice, but I got to be a grown up, and I got, you know, you tell yourself some story that makes you like cut off your passion, and then something like this happens. I can't imagine how much more sad I'd be right now, mm-hmm. if this happened to me and I had like not followed my dreams.
Well, Marco, thank you, Marco. Up against the clock. We got to run, but man, we really appreciate you taking some time, and I hope you and your wife and your kids are all going to be all right. And people can check out that GoFundMe on all of our social media pages, and our heart goes out to you guys.
You can see it on the Sugar Cult Facebook page too. And I think on my Instagram, which is just my name, Marco, Marko DeSantis, you know, so, yeah. And then just, I mean, regardless of the GoFundMe, just, you know, if you want to reach out, if you want to say hi, if you like the band, I would normally say when someone DMs me, write me and I'll send you a free, you know, a free Sugar Cult sticker or a pick, a guitar pick or something, but I can't offer that now.
I think people would understand.
Absolutely. Rock on, Marco, and be good out there, okay?
I'll send you a singed Sugar Cult poster.
Take care, Marco, rock on. Now, we know that you are a massive music fan, Rockaholics, but do you think that you could name a song after only hearing 1 second of the chorus? Prove it to us, and if you do, you'll win tickets to see Papa Roach and Rise Against at Climate Pledge Arena on April 1st. 206-803-ROCK. We will play Hook or Shook at 927.
The Daily Mix Show.
All morning, we have received texts and calls from you fine Rockaholics that we've not yet had a chance to chat with you about, but the time has arrived. We are checking in with the Rockaholics, so call us up if there's something you'd like to chime in on from the show this morning, or if you have anything on your mind that needs to be discussed. 206-803-ROCK.
Somebody did text in. This is going to be a tough conversation, but someone wanted to know, hey, what are you guys' thoughts about what happened at the Eagles game with that Packers fan? And we were having a conversation before our show even started about how do you handle the situation with this. So for people that don't know, and I'll try and paraphrase, but basically, we can't play the audio because it's just a bunch of bleeps. There were a couple of Green Bay Packers fans, I say maybe in their mid-20s, maybe 30s, I don't know, a engaged couple, his fiance and his future wife, whatever. They're at the game. It's in Philadelphia, known for being some of the friendliest fans in the world, and by friendly, not so much. So they're sitting there, they're watching the Packers take on the Eagles, and there's this D-bag standing behind the woman in this relationship, and he's kind of on the row behind her, so he's hovering over her, and he's talking trash, and at one point he calls her, he says she's a dumb C-word, and this is going on, and they're filming it. And so the debate has been, how do you handle this situation? Because a lot of people are giving the husband or the boyfriend, the fiance, a hard time. Like, what the hell are you doing, man? Why didn't you step up to the guy? And he even shared, he said it was a tough situation. I was surrounded by hostile people, including two of his buddies. One was his brother. If I got physical there was no good ending. And then, which I get, but I'll be honest with you. And I'm curious how you guys feel. If somebody called my wife that, and I would know that, yeah, this is probably going to lead to me getting my ass kicked. I'm not giving this guy a hard time. Everyone handles it differently. Maybe that's how his future wife, his girlfriend, wanted him to handle it. A fist would be going into that guy's face. I mean, I wouldn't be able to control myself. And I'm not saying that's the right way to handle it. Maybe the better way would be to go to security. I do have to say, I think the dumbest way to handle it is to just keep filming it. So you can put it on social media for what? I guess to put the guy on blast. I think maybe handle it with security or move to a different section. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not saying what my way is the right way, but I'm just saying that the honest side of me, if somebody said that to my wife, I'd be punching them in the face.
I mean, if someone said that to me, I might be punching them in the face.
It was insane to watch. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and like my husband is, like you, Steve, a lover, not a fighter. But I can't imagine that he would just sit there and I don't even think he would think to film it. I think that he would have handled it a little bit differently, maybe not in a, you know, violent way, but he definitely would have stepped up and said something.
At the very least, I would have told my wife we're switching spots.
Yeah,
because the guy was hovering over her. I'm like, I'd rather hover over me. You want to talk crap to me, like we can have a fun spirited sports argument, but like the guy was being a D-bag.
Can I tell you though, that has happened to me every single time I've ever gone to Apple Cup at Husky Stadium.
For real? Oh, okay. Awesome. I would never, I'm not telling these guys I'm wrong. I would never want to go to a Phillies.
No!
Any Philadelphia sporting event unless I'm a Philadelphia sports fan.
Even if you weren't a Philly fan, you would wear the gear just to like blend in so you didn't get your booty kicked.
What about you, Danny? You're at a game. Let's just say, you know, you and Lynn, Seahawks fans, but you go to watch them take on the Eagles in Philadelphia and some guy yelling at Lynn, calling her that word.
First off, I will say that what Taryn said is completely accurate.
Lynn would probably just clean out everyone like John Wick.
Oh my God. She would probably punch somebody way before I would.
Right in the throat.
That means that I would definitely have words with him. And when I get angry, I do get very angry. And it's one of those things like I will say.
Is he right?
I will say really bad things until I get to the point of just fighting. And I think that at that point, I definitely would have not just stood there. I think we would have probably been out of that section faster because I think she would have said some things that would have gotten kicked out of the venue probably for life.
One text says, as an Eagles fan, most of us do not condone that. I got to imagine.
Of course.
Trash talking is one thing, but this is just on another level. Sarah?
Well, I'm watching the video, and they, you know, have subtitles. And not only did he say the C word, but he also called her ugly, which definitely would scar me more.
What would be worse, if he said that you're an old lady or an ugly lady?
Oh, they're both really bad, Steve. Call me the C word all you want, but those two insults, no. Oh, they would be dead. Are you kidding? George wouldn't, especially if George has been drinking, he would beat these guys so fast. And I would be fine if, you know, hey, if you can't watch the game, I can't either. We're all going to get kicked out together. Jokes on you, dude.
Do you think maybe the girl was just like, I don't want you fighting?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? For sure. That situation, it's like, okay, under no circumstances. Mm-hmm. Even then, if that's the case, I'd be like, well, then we're leaving this.
Yeah.
We're leaving this spot because this is just too much.
But expensive tickets? She's probably just like, dude, babe, chill. It's fine. They're just names. I don't care. You know? Like, mm-hmm. if they had good seats, I mean, where else would you go? Like
that's
a
good point. There's no other seats available. But I mean, if you go to an usher and be like, look, we just can't, either they got to go or you got to find a place for us. I have no idea. But man, I definitely don't think I would have handled it by just cell phone recording it to put it on social media. That just seems strange to me.
Migs, I don't know how your parents ever felt about any of your tattoos and things of that nature, but my parents always hated tattoos, and there's no way they would have let me get one underage. Did you ever have an opportunity to get an underage tattoo?
Oh, no. It was, you got to wait till you're 18. And as soon as you turn 18, if you want to be an idiot and get a tattoo, by all means, do it. And I did just that.
There is a tattoo artist who has made news for tattooing a 9-year-old. And despite all the bad PR, he apparently does not regret this. You're going to hear from him at 9:50.
The Daily Migs.
There is a tattoo artist in Yuma, Arizona, who is facing major controversy after tattooing a 9-year-old girl.
I couldn't believe this story.
Of course, the parents gave consent, but this is the news report on what happened.
A tattoo artist in Yuma known as Sosa is addressing the backlash he's receiving after a video he posted online showing him tattooing a 9-year-old girl at his shop, Black Onyx Empire Tattoo, went viral.
I mean, any publicity is good publicity. I mean, I would rather...
I mean, I don't know if publicity of tattooing a 9-year-old is good publicity ever, personally. I don't know.
No.
Call me crazy.
Publicity, I mean, I would rather have good publicity. However, this, it's just a debate.
The video shows him inking an American flag on a young girl's arm, who he says initially wanted a picture of Donald Trump on her neck, but he convinced her.
Hold on a second.
What?
I'm done.
Well, why did he change her mind?
Oh my God.
Wow.
I have no words.
I think when I was a kid, before I was old enough to get a tattoo, I wanted like a tiger. So like running up my leg.
Cool. Not a political figure?
No, I didn't want Jimmy Carter's face on my neck. I don't know.
But he convinced her to get an American flag on her arm instead. The tattoo was done last year, and she recently came back to his shop for a touch-up.
And I'm proud to be an American. I mean, now that you say it's an American flag, it makes everything fine.
I kind of wish, like, maybe we could go like into the future, like 11 years from now when she's older and whatever's happened in her life, and be like, hey, do you remember there was once a time you wanted to get somebody's face tattooed on your neck and see what kind of reaction? Because when we're younger, you want stupid things. Then when you get older, you realize, I'm so glad I didn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So no tattoos for Tatum and Barrett yet. Not when they're... Yeah, maybe when they're 9.
She wants Marshall on like the back of her neck.
Yeah, of course.
But I said, you got to wait till at least you're 18 before you get Marshall from Paw Patrol. Yeah.
What is happening in Arizona that led to a police officer sharing this?
He was trying to do the wow thing with a horse.
What?
Find out during the Daily Migs download after Aerosmith.
The Daily Migs Show.
Knowledge is power. So give us 5-ish minutes and we'll give you some interesting stuff you can talk about at work. This is the Daily Migs download,
aka the DMD.
Here's your daily dose of doings happening in the world.
And the DMD is brought to you by Palace Law. And full disclosure, this morning when I sat down at a cup of coffee here at work and I read this headline and I legitimately spit the coffee out. Oh. Not like full on like cartoony like everywhere, but like a little had to come out of my mouth because I was just like, I did not read that headline. I'm just going to read you the headline.
Okay.
Man accused of trying to put his junk on the nostril of a horse. News at 11. This literally happened to a 53-year-old man in Florida. And he got caught by his girlfriend while he was trying to do this. Here's the sheriff explaining exactly what happened.
He said, well, you know, I had just some sexual frustration. Donald Calloway, who's 53 from Lake Wells, admitted that because he was trying to do the wow thing with the horse. She said, nay. That's right.
Didn't know he was a comedian as well.
Master impressionist. Polk County Sheriff Grady.
She said, nay. That's right. He tried to engage in inappropriate conduct with a horse, which is clearly against the law. Does Donald not know that a horse will bite you?
Oh, wow, well, that's a valuable lesson right there.
Could have ended very differently yeah, for right? that guy. The Seattle Mariners signed infielder Donovan Solano to a one-year, $3.5 million contract with the potential for an additional $1 million in performance bonuses tied to plate appearances. He's 37 years old. And 35 RBIs for San Diego last season, has a career batting average of .279 over 11 MLB seasons. Could this be our year, Steve?
I mean,
she said, nay.
I think I might have to agree. I don't know if that's the big acquisition that we've been clamoring for Mariners fans. But all right, hey, it's a start, maybe. Hey, as far as weather, we're hitting a high of 44 degrees. The DMD is brought to you by Snoqualmie Casino.
She said, nay.
And that's what's up.
Ryan Castle is up next with the Morning 12 Back.
The Daily Mix Show.